I am not a religious person, but I'm about to evangelize for a play opening on Broadway. It's called The Testament of Mary. It's a one-woman show with Fiona Shaw playing Mary, the mother of Jesus. This Mary tells a version of the Passion that I find entirely plausible and illuminating. Horrible for her, thrilling for her son's excited true believer disciples. Fiona Shaw's performance is one of maybe the half dozen most powerful stage performances I think I've ever seen, and she is here with me now. Fiona Shaw, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you so much.
As a non-Christian, to me, Mary has always seemed like a kind of saintly blank. As someone raised Catholic, did you have a sense of who this person was?
Saintly blank is very good. Actually, that's exactly what she was being proffered as. She wore pale blue. She was in statues. She had no personality. She never said anything in the New Testament to make any of the Gospels interesting on a Sunday. She sort of hung around on the side, passive, watery, milky, actually, kind of milky.
And sort of invites a filling in by a presumptuous playwright.
Yes, it does. And I think the really good thing is that, you know, why should she not have been a mother of a family or married to a husband who she loved as much as anyone else? But the church was so busy, the early church, trying to neutralize the power of the female, I think.
Right. So she had to be this two-dimensional sort
yes.
of figure.
Yeah.
As you were thinking about how to do this Mary, I mean, obviously there was the text, but did you have a modern person in mind?
Yes. I mean, I hope the trick of the play is that you're meeting somebody you might meet in Brooklyn. And funny enough, when I first arrived in New York just a month ago, we were having breakfast in a diner, and there was a woman with a fur coat who came down the street, and she was a very respectable lady, but she was definitely alone on a Sunday morning. And I thought, that's her. So she's around.
Would you, before we talk some more, perform a little bit of it for us?
Sure.
You looked worried.
I did. You took me by surprise there. I mean, it's also not without humor, the play.
Absolutely.
And
I was the first to laugh a little too loudly.
Yeah, I could laugh away. I think most plays should have humor. But she is a woman who, of course, the difficult thing is when you've witnessed something as horrible as she has, which is to witness the death of your son, you never really recover. But within that, she has fantastic irony, and Colm Tobin, who wrote the novel, a sort of fantastic point of view of this woman, of her point of view, of her son's friends.
And it's unclear how long after the fact she's telling us
yes,
this story.
Yes, I think it's about 6 or 7 years, say, after the death of her son. But she spends a lot of the time trying to work out, how did it go so wrong? How did she lose this boy? And she starts to talk about her son's friends, and these, you know, became famously, iconically, the evangelists and the apostles. But from her point of view, she says, he gathered around him, I said, a group of misfits, only children like himself, or men without fathers, men who could not look a woman in the eye, men who were seen smiling to themselves. Not one of you was normal, I said. Yes, misfits, I said. I've no time for misfits. My son gathered misfits, although he himself, despite everything, was not a misfit. He could have done anything. He could have even been quiet. He had that quality too. He could look at a woman as though she were his equal. He was graceful, good-mannered, he was intelligent, and he used all of it, I said, to lead a group of misfits from place to place. Gather together misfits, I said, and you will get recklessness, you'll get ambition, you'll get anything at all, and it will lead to what I saw, which is the worst sort of catastrophe. And I watched him pushing a plate of half-eaten food towards me like a child in a tantrum.
That is Fiona Shaw doing part of The Testament of Mary, in which she's appearing now in on Broadway. That is one of my favorite recurring parts of her discussion is the followers. And she says the followers in invisible quotation marks, essentially.
Yes, I mean, I think that is both shocking to people, and yet, of course, Colm has just, with great imagination, filled in that if you have no hindsight before the event, you have no idea of how important these people were going to be later. So it's very likely that the mother of this famous young man does not see these 12 friends as anything but a bunch of strange guys who seem to be not doing a job of work but up to something else. But it never really lampoons. It's not that it diminishes or lampoons them. She just genuinely finds them not ordinary people. And of course, that is true.
As opposed to my good son, who's not a misfit.
Yes, and like all mothers, yes, she said he could do anything. You know, he could have been anything, a doctor or a lawyer or...
Or a carpenter. What would your parents think of this play?
Well, my mother is going to come actually next month,
really?
And I think she'll enjoy it very much.
Is she a churchgoer?
She's very much a churchgoer, but she's very clear about the difference between fiction and religion, and so she will happily watch it and run the other hair of her belief in her head, which is why I think there's a great pleasure for some people, whether you're Christian or not Christian. The joy of it is that that story has influenced, you know, art history, clothing history, the way we speak.
The way we think.
So everybody has some access to the story and they will enjoy playing their version in their head versus what they're watching.
So she's not going to go, oh, Fiona, how could you do this?
She's very keen that it doesn't upset anyone.
It has upset a few people. There were members of this right-wing Catholic group protesting outside the theater at least one night. What do you think most upsets them?
I think not seeing the play. Actually, I think if they saw the play, they would be absolutely delighted by it. There's nothing in the play apart from the fact that, you know, there is a storyline where she leaves the crucifixion. But even in the New Testament, it's only in Luke that she is present at the crucifixion. So it's not theology, but I think they would be overall, the tenor of it and the profound upset at the death of this young man is the essence of our suffering as people, secular or Christian.
And I agree with you because, again, you know, I know the basic story, but I was not indoctrinated with its sacred sense growing up. But I found myself more caring, more thinking more about Mary and the crucifixion and Christianity than I ever had before.
But it is a marvelous story because in the New Testament, when we get it in church, when we're all bored rigid as children and we have to listen to it, or even, you know, even in the Old Testament, I'm sure Jewish children have the same thing with this strange, vague world called the Old World where this thing happened. Fundamentally, the stories are about people. And that once you understand things emotionally, you understand them much better historically. And I think that's where drama has a miracle of its own, actually, that you actually meet these people in a way that you just cannot in the austere world of an open Bible.
You have played a lot of larger-than-life mythic women, Euripides, Medea, Beckett's Winnie, now the Virgin Mary. Go big or go home is your rule here?
I think not. I think this was started by the Greeks, I think, who always saw that women were the lowest form of human life and therefore made them often the center of their plays. Because if the gods were going to attack you or the fates or some story that was going to reveal something, as a man, you had the defense of your sword or your manlyhood. Women have pretty well no defense. So Euripides and Sophocles wrote these Electras and obviously,
right.
And they also wrote, obviously, they're men. You know, the whole Oresteias are mainly about men, but they do make women very important in their plays, which, apart from anything else, gives women something to play, that they're in relation to the universe, to infinity, to death, and to family.
It's unmediated.
Oh, yeah. There's something actually, they're not just on the side while, you know, some argument is happening in a democracy where the men are discussing the situation. The women themselves are directly affected. And later, I mean, Shakespeare wrote some fantastic heroines, but he didn't write near as many as he did great heroes. So I played a lot of those heroines. You get through them quite quickly, actually, once you've done Beatrice, Portia and Rosalind.
So on to Richard II.
On to Richard II. But I've also done, I mean, Hedda Gabler is a very ordinary person. That is the point about her.
Yes.
She's mediocre in every respect. And
Who explodes surprisingly.
Yeah. But there's nothing mythic about her, really.
That's
except
true.
That she is...
But she has become mythic in 100 years since.
She has. And maybe our job is often, you take the myth, like in Medea, the great myth of this person, and you actually discover her, too, to be a very ordinary person in relation to her desires. Because in the end, the theatre is about, literally, each of us.
Which is exactly what this great play does.
Yeah.
Fiona Shaw, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Fiona Shaw stars in The Testament of Mary. It's running on Broadway through the end of June.